In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, amen. Now, before you sit down, so this is, stained glass is the ascension, right?
It is.
So everybody turn around. And just, I know you do this all the time, but just in case you forget that you have this most splendid, gorgeous, eastern lit, beautiful stained glass. There it is. There's the ascension, which we just celebrated on Thursday. If you count them, only 11 apostles. I counted a lot. Did I count right, Robert? I was like, didn't want to make that mistake. Right, so we're seeing exactly what's been talked about in the lessons. Is that not just gorgeous? And if you think about the psalm, there are those trees planted by the water right there. Just beautiful. All right, you can turn around. You can sit down. It is good to be with you all. Do you all do that regularly? Did you talk about that on Thursday?
No, I did not.
I mean, it's just, I have literally the best seat in the house, don't I? Because I'm just looking at that gorgeous stained glass window. Well, you know, this is so interesting. Ascension was Thursday. Pentecost is a week from today, so we're not quite there yet. So we're in this really interesting in-between time. Well, we wouldn't know anything about being in an in-between time, would we? In fact, I'm about to do something very risque, but I have permission. Watch this. Oh, I know, right? Now, let me be very clear. You can't do this yet. I know that's a little mean. But it's not, right? Because I cannot tell you how hard your bishops have worked. And everybody. Oh, is this not working? Oh, sorry. I guess it has to be right here, doesn't it? So, like the rest of you, we have studied, we have read, we have measured, and we have talked to, you know, read the studies out of Colorado. So this is safe. This is 15 feet apart. And we are very slowly, ever so slowly, moving in a direction that is going to get us there. I think next Sunday, right, Robert, we're going to allow
two Sundays,
Pentecost Sunday, you can sing with your masks on. Right? Now, look, I understand. Probably 99% of the people here are vaccinated, but not our children. Right? We're still getting there. There are people who can't be vaccinated yet. So we are getting there, but because church, because we love to be together, is one of those activities where we have to be the most careful, we may move a little more slowly than some of the rest of the world. But we are moving in the right direction because why? Because the church goes together. We go at the pace of our most vulnerable. But over time, we are also not going to go in a cookie cutter fashion. We're going to go in ways that allow you, St. Luke's, and all the rest of the 120 congregations of this diocese to figure out what makes the most sense in your context. But we did do a lot of studying and consulting, and we have decided that folks who are vaccinated at a lectern or a pulpit who are 15 feet apart from everybody else are okay to take off the mask. So that's just a little explanation because we're in these in-between times. We're in this time where the disciples have seen Jesus, let's just say, translate to another world. Jesus did not take off like a rocket ship and go to the other side of the moon, is sometimes when we read about the ascension. But I do believe any of us who think about multi-dimensions or multi-universes or the fact that there's more to the world than we can see can understand that somehow the risen body of Jesus that walked, talked, ate with his disciples after the resurrection translates into a different dimension that is no longer visible to the eye, but completely apprehendable to the heart. We just had to learn how to look for it. And of course, that takes the Holy Spirit. So this time between the Ascension and Pentecost in the church calendar is this kind of in-between time where we're saying, listen to the Lord, listen to the Lord's word, but look to the community of Christ to find your way. Ascension is God's way of saying that we can never hold on to or pin down or predict or anticipate or set any kind of boundaries to the amazing presence and transcendence and even immanence of God. Ascension is God's way of saying that even when you can't see me with your eyes, you can know me in your heart and abide. Abide, as the Gospel of John talks about so frequently, abide in with me in fellowship. Ascension is God's way of saying, listen to the word, but look to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Be mindful of the past, but look toward a future, finding new ways to build community and strength. Now, after the Ascension, the disciples had to reorganize themselves, right? That's when they pick Matthias. That's when Judas is no longer. They need to fill the ranks of the 12, and they have a choice between two. And I think that's fair. They had to be two people who had traveled and worked with Jesus his entire earthly ministry, from his baptism to his crucifixion to his resurrection. And there were two candidates, and they cast lots. They cast lots, meaning either man would have been an excellent choice. Do you ever wonder about the guy who wasn't chosen? You know, like, was he really like, oh man, or he goes like, whoo, you know, that would look like a really hard job. I sort of love the idea of this 13th apostle, because my feeling is he's the rest of us, right? The rest of us who are not going to get our name written down on the front of a church or anywhere, but who also faithfully, anonymously, daily follow in our Lord's footsteps, being the presence of Christ, being the witness to God's amazing power of love. So the angels at the Ascension say, stop looking up, look to each other, and look to the needs of your community. And then they are sent first to wait. Part of the Christian journey is what? I'm not good at this. Waiting. Listening. Reflecting. They had to wait until, oh, I don't know, a day of confirmation, a day when the Holy Spirit comes down in a new and a fresh way, because it's not like the Holy Spirit wasn't always there, but comes in such a powerful way as to change them again, strengthen them again to be a tighter community that can stretch farther. And then God sends them out, sends them out. We are coming out like those munchkins after the house fell on the, you know, Wicked Witch of the East, right? Glinda kind of says, come out wherever you are, right? It's still dangerous, but we need to come out from our hiding. We need to come out and reassume and really become kind of a new community that goes forward in faith. What? A community that finds its wisdom. Maybe like the scarecrow, that finds its courage, like the cowardly lion, that finds its heart, and that finds, if there was ever a persevering, inquiring person, it was Dorothy, right? But they find it together. We, those disciples, we find our community and we go forward. We are sent. God is a sender. God sent Abram and Sarai, sent them from their comfortable homes in Ur, sent them out to Cana. God is a sender. God sent Moses to Pharaoh and then sent the Israelites to the promised land through the wilderness. Jesus was sent to the Jews, but not just the Jews, but Samaritans and Gentiles, women and slaves and lepers. Jesus was sent to anyone and everyone. Jesus then sends his disciples out two by two. Jesus is then sentenced to death on the cross, and then sent back from the other side of the grave. And then Jesus, after the resurrection, sends out his disciples to be witnesses of new life and the embodiment of a new kingdom. And then we are sent. We are sent. You have been called, and you and I are sent. Sent to Salisbury, sent to Rowan County, sent to tell in your own lives the good news of Jesus. And it will take you surprising places. Let me ask you. Michael Curry, you remember him, right? You may have heard of him. I'm telling you, when Michael Curry used to sit at the feet of his Baptist grandmother in Birdie County, I think it's Birdie County, pretty sure it's Birdie County, do you think it ever occurred to either one of them that he would be sent to preach to the crown at a royal wedding? Oh, the places you'll go, the places you'll go. And I'm not talking about geographically. The places we'll go together. The places we'll go together. Maybe down to some pretty deep and desolate valleys. Maybe to some incredible mountaintops. But we will go together and we will go with God. But the point is, after the ascension, our focus can't just be on the next life. It's on this life. It's on being healers, reconcilers, and ambassadors of God's good news. God calls us to attention and then sends us out to serve. Very diaconal. I hope you deacons are paying attention to this. Deacons are our symbol, but they're not the only ones sent. They are the signs and the embodiment that the rest of us follow. So where might we be sent these days? What new questions might we ask? What new practices do we need? I think this time in the pandemic has taught us some things about new practices, what it looks like to love and care for one another, how Zoom can actually help us avoid some unnecessary travel in the cars. Do you know how much better diocesan meetings go if we haven't had to drive 2 hours first from all across the diocese? Good for the environment, good for our personal well-being. We've discovered things. And we've discovered how much we love to be together in worship. I wonder if we're being called away from focusing quite so much energy on just maintaining a status quo. And maybe we're being called to refocus our work on mission beyond our doors. And for those of you involved with the St. Luke's Foundation, you know better than anyone the power of mission beyond our doors, and that's a story to tell. I wonder if we're being called to build a community not primarily that meets our personal comfort needs, but a community that tolerates discomfort when it's in the pursuit of justice and mercy. We have each been brought into this world with a purpose. We have each been brought into this world with special gifts no one else has. And we've been called into a common united mission with the common vision of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We've each been created for joy and to make meaning out of our lives, for community, and to bring out the best in the other. We have each been called to this moment and will be sent out for joyful service. I believe God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit has sent us here this morning to be joined together again in wonder, love, and praise. And then, in that all-important deacon's dismissal, sent out forward in faith, in hope, and above all, in love. Amen.